This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, Six Capitals, Six Points of View. We go to Brussels, a twin capital, NATO and the EU, and we have this from the meetings in these last hours, President Zelensky attending. European nations have signaled their readiness, writes the Telegraph, to send fighter jets to Ukraine, according to President Zelensky, after an impassioned plea to EU leaders to ramp up their military support. After meeting with the leaders for the bloc's 27 member states, Zelensky said he had received positive signals. It came after Mr. Zelensky warned them that Ukraine's armed forces desperately need them to make good on their promised weapons. But a number of European leaders raised doubts over the supply of aircraft amid fears it risked escalation with Moscow. Professor, are we escalating now, or is that a fear of the future? Thank you.
Well, escalation is what's been going on from the very, very beginning of the war. And escalation is an interactive process, and it results when the force with which you respond is it differs from the force with which you're hit. So it's not like Newton, where every action has an equal but opposite reaction. You have an unequal reaction, as Clausewitz would say. The human mind decides what the action is going to be. It's interesting to me that the Europeans and the Americans, for that matter, are worrying about escalation. They're not worrying about Ukraine losing. But the very safest outcome would be for Ukraine to win. And the only way that that's going to happen is if they get the kinds of weapons that France or England or the United States or Poland would expect to have if they were going to fight that war. I mean, Ukrainians are they're very, very accomplished fighters now, but they can't do magic. And it was interesting and significant to me that you would think that by now the Europeans would have a little committee, say, about aid to Ukraine, and the French should be on it, the Germans be on it, the British should be on it, and so forth, and that you'd go to one person and you'd say, look, we really need fighter planes or something. But that's not the case. Even in the midst of this war, what you have is this array of miniature armies in Europe. If they pooled their resources and divvied up the different tasks, they could actually, Europe could be a superpower. As it is, it's a collection of semi-powers. There's no, as I say almost every week, there's no European country, Western European country, that can fight a war. They have to have American assistance. And whether they're going to have American assistance, I don't know. But on this most recent trip, Zelensky visited London. And this irritated the French tremendously. Why? Because the French claimed that they had been seeking to talk to Zelensky and he was cutting them dead, and the French were the real leaders of Europe, not these wretched Brits. And so Zelensky flew into Paris at 10 p.m., and it was so late, he having squeezed this in after much talk with the French, but no offers, and the French weren't even able to send people to meet him at the airport, and he went on to Brussels. So, in other words, the Europeans are still squabbling among themselves when they ought to be figuring out, they ought to be asking themselves, let's suppose that the Russian offensive gains some traction. What are we going to do? And my thought is, they do gain traction. Now, we're going to hear a lot of voices, such as we just heard from the RAND Corporation in this country, saying, well, it's time to pause the whole war in Ukraine. And so there may start to be defections from some of the allies. You often hear it said that we mustn't humiliate Russia. Well, how you beat the stuffing out of them, how you let arm the Ukrainians to absolutely beat the stuffing out of them in a territory bigger than France, which they think of as just being their backyard, that doesn't just humiliate, that's going to enrage them. You're not going to have a sort of Mr. Putin sort of sit down and say, well, I guess you win some, you lose some, but I'll sign that. That's not going to happen. What I think is likely to happen is that if we try to bail out, and there is the polls show increasing unpopularity of the war in this country, not least, I would say, because our government does not explain it. They don't talk about it. They're trying to act as if it wasn't even going on. If some countries begin to back out, then there will be a smaller coalition of the countries that know that their necks are next on the chopping block. For instance, Finland, Norway, Sweden, the Baltic states, the Czech Republic, Poland, and so forth. And they, if they start helping Ukraine, they may help. They may have no alternative but to actually become physically involved in the fighting, because they don't have the resources simply to transfer what they have to the Ukrainians. Well, if that happens, then Russia will say, my God, we've got to defeat these countries too. So that might mean that the Russians would start making selective strikes in the Baltic states, say Finland, Poland, and so forth. And that's not going to get those states to do what Russia wants. But it will lead countries that thought they were out of the war saying, we can't allow aggression against NATO member states and all the rest. So Russia will not have, if she's spent her wad on this current offensive in Ukraine, Russia's not going to have the forces to defeat all those countries too. So she'll have to turn to some kind of escalation. And Putin has several times said, don't imagine that this war is just going to end with tank battles. We have ways of ending it. They're quite different. And he's obviously making a very, very subtle, not at all subtle, mention of nuclear weapons. If that happens, France, Germany, and so forth, they are going to be terrified. They're absolutely terrified. And we're going to get then, quite likely, a war that spreads and becomes international, because the Russians have not been dealt with decisively. Now, how do we avoid that? The only way to avoid that frightening outcome is to make Ukraine strong enough to be able to crush the Russian offensive now. And that means, sadly, it means really speeding up the rate with which the most advanced weapons are being supplied to Ukraine.
The European Union is not confident that speed is available, Professor. I mention that only because it's unclear. We don't have transparency here. It is a war fighting. But Zelensky's statement, very clear statement, that he needs everything now, right away. He made that again and again. The best I've heard is warplanes can't be available for months, and the training itself is a challenge, because we're talking about completely different kinds of systems than the Ukrainian pilots are used to. So your measure of the European Union, do they want Zelensky to negotiate?
Well, I mean, what exactly is, what are the terms that they envision? After what Ukraine has been invaded gratuitously, heedlessly, by Russia, starting in 2014 with the annexation of the Crimea, in the teeth of a signed Russian document, which the Ukrainians took as a guarantee, also from the United States and Britain, of their territorial integrity in return for their giving up nuclear weapons. I think that what you say is almost certainly true, that we're not, what we're finding out in the Ukraine war is that not only are we not ready for a big fight, we're not even ready for quite a small fight. And that the dear Germans, who are the masters of the construction of tanks, they don't seem to be able to build tanks anymore. This shocks me, as if I were told that France is no longer manufacturing, or they're no longer making wine at their vineyards. What they're doing is they're buying Australian wine wholesale and selling it under license. I mean, it's inconceivable. It's as if they stopped making cheese. Who ever heard of a Germany that can't make tanks? My God, they had almost 3,000 tanks at the beginning of Operation Barbarossa, and those were beautiful, good tanks. And so we're finding out an awful lot about the weakness that you get from free riding, and also the weakness that you get from constant squabbling, because there's really no excuse for the Europeans not to be able to get together enough extra tanks or aircraft to supply the Ukrainians. What we're seeing now is it's damn lucky that it wasn't Europe that was invaded, but it was Ukraine, because we're finding out all the weaknesses in Europe and, of course, in the United States. We can't replace this.
All right, let's go to D.C., Professor. Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, six capitals, 6 points of view. The United States next, after the State of the Union and before President Biden travels to Warsaw, to the battlefront. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.